But as a guest preacher, I have to tell you, I really feel at home. The journey over these years and relationship that we have had with NAMPA Bethel Church of the Nazarene has been significant and meaningful. In the 13 years that I was district superintendent, we had a number of events and the meetings here, the church being graciously opened up to us, and that part of it just feels very, very comfortable. And then it was just, we moved to NAMPA the first week of 1995, January 1995, to pastor at NAMPA First Church, and just a couple of weeks, I think it was just 2 weeks, just a couple of weeks after moving here, we heard about the dedication of this building. And so on a Sunday afternoon, I came to represent other pastors in NAMPA and was a part of the dedication service here in this building. And then, of course, fellow pastor, along with Pastor Litzy there for just a short while. And again, what a Christian gentleman, what a beautiful heart and spirit. And then the process that was mentioned already this morning that you went through, and the calling of Pastor Doug and Joni Wilson, and I was a fellow pastor with Doug and Joni and friends, and then became district superintendent. So just a lot of connections, a lot of folks that look familiar and that I know, many of you that I do not know, but perhaps we'll get a chance to get acquainted. I want to share with you this morning on this the idea, the subject matter of the church. The title of the message is "The Church as Partners in Community," and the text for today is out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, but I want to read just a few more verses than that. They won't be on the screen, but just hear those words. And if you would stand as we read God's word. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Lord, open our hearts and our minds to the truth and the power of your word. And by your Spirit, would you draw us together and draw us to that place where we can hear your word, your message for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Acts 2:42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and to prayer." Now, in the New Testament, I find there are two key Greek New Testament words that, to me, are key words in describing the church, in what the church does and in what the church is. Those two words are koinonia and eleon. Koinonia is translated most often as fellowship. It is a good word. It is a good translation. It is a wonderful word. It is a relational word. And yet, I have over the years chosen to prefer the translation, the word partners or partnership. Just seems to be a little stronger. It just seems to me, maybe it's my growing up in the church, but when you use the word fellowship, it usually means potluck dinner, and or coffee and donuts or something, and that's part of it. But it's koinonia is a whole lot more than that, and so this idea of partners, being partners together in the gospel, koinonia, and then the other eleon is translated as one another. It is the church as community, the church as family. It is that community of faith that is walking together following Christ. So what was it that held the early church together, held them steady, kept their eyes on Jesus, kept them focused on the mission that Christ had given to them, remained faithful and produced the fruit of the kingdom? And we know, if you know history, you know the church has not always done that well. In fact, sometimes the church has not done that very well at all. And yet, in spite of what some in our world today think about the church as being very ineffective, we believe that the church is marching toward the time when Christ will be all in all, when Christ will be the one who is, as the head of the church, will be given all rule and power and authority. We believe in and participate in the power of that life of Christ in the church. What does he call us to do and to be? Significant time in the life of your church, this moving into a new chapter in seeking, and I so appreciate the heart and spirit of your church board and your lay leaders and your staff in calling the church to serious prayer and wanting to find the pastoral leadership that God has for you. You have been so blessed in the past. You know that, right? As a congregation, you're representative here. Julie said that out loud, but I hope you all know how blessed you have been. And as we think about the church, I want you to keep that focus and think about this one that God has his hand on, that the church will offer the invitation and call, and God's call will be upon them, and come and pick up that mantle and be for you that one that's the new, that leads you into this new chapter. But I also want you to think about what's your part. You are the church, and you understand it will never be more than what we are individually and together in Christ. So let's look at, first of all, a method for doing church. I think it's summed up here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And this is by no means an isolated place in the New Testament where you would find this emphasis and this teaching. I want to highlight three words for you that will identify, that will focus on what the church is called to do. These three words: doctrine, discipleship, and devotion. They were devoted to sound doctrine. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, I think you know that the early church, the first century church, although there were those a part of the first century church that were being inspired by the Spirit of God to write the Holy Scripture, what we have as the New Testament, but that it did not fully come together and part of the canon until the fourth century. And as God worked to bring that together, and we have the privilege of having all 66 books of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the inspired Word of God. But in the New Testament, the first century church, they had the epistles of the Apostle Paul were circulated. The Gospels were circulated. They had the Old Testament teaching and scriptures. And they had other teachings that the apostles tried to help them understand. What is the call to discipleship? What is the truth of God? What are we called to do? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I urge you, I commend you not to allow that to ever waver. And I think I know Napa Bethel Church of the Nazarene well enough to know that you have committed to that and been committed to that. But we are devoted to the teaching, sound doctrine, the truth of God. Then steadfast discipleship. This koinonia, this life lived together, this partnership that we have in the gospel. They lived life together. This reference in verse 42 to breaking bread, and later in the verses you notice that it says they daily ate together. So it is both a reference to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, of communion, and that we share in together as we worship, but it is also the potluck dinner, that you know, the barbecue for the teens that we're going to have in just a little bit, and I know it's you're wanting it to be quicker. That's living life together, journeying together. It is what the church is called to do, and then sincere devotion. They committed themselves. They devoted themselves to prayer. And I commend you as a congregation of all that I have heard, the commitment that you have to prayer. And I'm looking forward to coming back here in a couple of weeks. I'll be back again, and I hope we see the chain halfway around the hallway. I commend you for that, but also let you know that it's not just for the season of pastoral transition and calling of a pastor, but that's what the church is called to do, sincere devotion. But it's more than just doing, church. I want us to look at a model for being church. And the model I want to look at is the church at Ephesus. The Ephesian church was one of, perhaps if an apostle like Paul could have a favorite, perhaps it was one of his favorites. It certainly seems like one he had the least amount of trouble with, other than some of them. And everything we read in the New Testament, it was a wonderful church, a powerful church, a group that truly were following Christ and desiring to be all that Christ wanted them to be, and we read the stories are amazing, and the love that Paul had for them. You can read in Acts chapter 19 and 20 that the story of Paul's ministry there, and then the farewell with the Ephesian elders. But I want to remind you that it wasn't a perfect church, nor is there one. You know that, right? Okay, I just wanted, just in case you weren't sure, I as a district superintendent, I got to go to lots of churches, and I still haven't found one. But the call that we are to be what God has called us to be, and it is that work that He does within us that is impacting the world. So the model, Paul says, when he's there on the beach, Acts chapter 20, he's there on the beach with the Ephesian elders, and it's a very emotional time for the apostle and for the elders. He says, I'll not be back, and I'll probably never see you again this side of heaven, but I'm facing lots of trouble ahead. But he says to them, there are wolves that are going to come in among you and try to destroy the flock. In fact, there are even some among you in your own number that will rise up and try to teach false doctrines. Beware of them. So this church that he so dearly loved, this wonderful model of a church, was going to face some difficult things. And then we know that in John the Revelator, in the Revelation, in chapter 2, the risen Lord addresses the church at Ephesus and says to them, I commend you. I commend you for the life you've lived and what you've done. And yet he says, but I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. And And so this church that is a model, but I just want to remind you that it is a model that is a real model. It's not a picture that's painted of something that it's impossible to achieve, because it was not perfect. It had its issues, its problems. So we have the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, and I'm going to reference five different verses there in chapters 4 and 5. For in Ephesians 4 and 5, Paul uses the word elelon, one another, five different times. And it seems to me that it is a place that truly describes the church as the church is to be, what God has called us to be. The first one, we see the church as a community in caring. Verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The King James Version translates it forbearing. I like the force of that word. The New American Standard Bible translates it showing tolerance. Bearing with one another in love. Be humble. I know. Humble is one of those things that it's hard to define, but I think we know it when we see it, right? Be humble. Be gentle. Be gentle. As Christians, we so desperately want right behavior certainly out of everyone within the church, but we would love to see more right behavior even in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. But it's, how do you get to the point of helping people live into right behavior? Some of you would know that a couple of years ago, Carol and I moved here into town. But before that, we lived south of town on an acreage, and I've had horses for a number of years. And I remember the first getting into having my own horses and learning about training horses the gentle way. It was kind of an interesting thought to me at first, but I tried to read and watch and listen and know about the gentle method of getting the right behavior out of a horse. Now I'd been exposed. Now I owned horses for a long time. I was never a horseman. I wish I could say I was, but I wasn't. But I had a friend that was a horseman, and he told me a story about one of the horses that he had one time. That was just one of those, just a knothead. He called him a knothead, and he said one day he had just had enough. The way that horse was acting, and he had just had enough. And he said, I slid off the neck, and grabbed his halter and pulled him. Now I wouldn't even try that. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I wouldn't even try it. But grabbed the halter and I pulled his nose clear to the ground until he fell on the ground, and I fell on top of him and laid over his head until he stopped kicking and squirming, until he just relaxed. And he said, I let him go, he got up, and he never acted out again. You know, I've known some people that I like to do that with. I don't think it would work with them anymore. That would work with some of the horses that I've had. The idea of being able to take that 1,200, 1,400, 1,500 pound animal and have them do behave in the way you want them to behave, and to do it in a gentle way. That's fascinating. Paul says to the church, there are some things in our world that just aren't right. And people behave in ways that are not right. Be gentle. Patient. I don't have time. I'm going to skip that one. Someone defined patience as calm and uncomplaining perseverance or waiting under pain or provocation. Just say, God help me. And love. Agape love, this unconditional love. A community in caring. And then the next one, let me hurry on. A community in communication. Verse 25, chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. A community in communication. We are, Paul, in the verse prior to that, verse 24, he says, we are a new creation in Christ. We are created to true righteousness and holiness. We are to speak the truth in love. The power of one's life to influence others around them and doing it in the right kind of ways. Speaking the truth, speaking it in love. And then verse 32, chapter 4, verse 32, a community in compassion. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. These two amazing words, kindness and forgiveness, at the very heart and character of who God is. And it is what he calls the church to be, to live out kindness and forgiveness. And then we go over to chapter 5, verse 19, and we see the community in celebration. Verse 19, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. I'm glad that the Apostle Paul had a variety in his repertoire of how we can communicate to each other individually and how we can communicate in worship. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We are a community. As the church comes together in times like this, in times of worship, to lift up Christ, singing together, praying together, worship together, a community in celebration. It is what the church is called to be. And then, verse 21, a community in courtesy and accountability. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I know that's starting to get into those verses that we think of. Now, why, Paul, why are you saying that? But I urge you to think about at the heart of what Paul is saying in all of his words in submitting. It is not a call for us to subject or subjugate someone else. I do not call you to submit. We, out of reverence for Christ, submit. We never find ourselves in a place where we call someone else to submit, and we're way out of bounds. But as the body of Christ, and as the church in community, we submit to one another, out of reverence for Christ. Eugene Peterson paraphrased it this way, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Filled with the Spirit of God, courteous and accountable. It is the picture of what the church is called to be. And it is our own individual call as well, as our part within the church. That must be the dinner bell. I know sometimes it's helpful if when you go away from a message like this and you hear a number of scriptures that the Lord can use and speak to your heart that you think, what do I do with that? Let me suggest, would you just think about these things? In fact, if you will, just close your eyes for a moment and just think about the possibility of deciding this week that you'll intentionally offer forbearance, tolerance to someone. You'll just plan to do that. That this week you will consider thinking about just one act of kindness to some person every day. Perhaps you could pray and ask the Lord to show you if there's anyone that you've not forgiven and seek God's help to do so. That you will strive to be that one that is the church, is part of the church, helps the church to be what it is to be and to do as God desires. Stand together. Lord, we know that our church family here loves you, loves the truth and the power of your word, desires to follow you. And I pray that they will come to know, new and fresh, in ways perhaps they've not even yet experienced, what it means to be a part of this church that you have so blessed, and yet you're calling it to continue to be a blessing, to be and to become all that you want it to be. And in their own lives and in their homes, your blessing as we follow and as we walk together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Love and serve the Lord.